Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining us tonight for my sister, my friend, internet show that hosts different ministries and introducing different ministries to the internet, and we just are proud to be here tonight. We're so happy that you have joined us again on this Monday night in December. We want to thank you for just coming on tonight and join us in my sister, my friend. I would like to give a shout out to our partners, to Beverly Beasley, who is the sponsor of our show, which is Granny's Place. I'd like to give a shout out to Minister Henderson and to Reverend Terry of First Free Will Baptist Church, and to my pastor, Pastor Michael Morgan Sr. of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church. And speaking of my pastor tonight, I would like to thank you all for joining us and praying for us and being there for us during the homegoing celebration of his lovely wife, the angel that was went home to be with the Lord. We thank God for her life. We thank God for knowing her. We thank God for her being a part of our lives. As you know, she was a woman, a true woman of worship, a true woman of God, a true woman that everyone that she touched, they got something from her. They could feel her love, her compassion, her ministry. You know, she was a woman that used her hands. She was a seamstress. She did a lot of arts and crafts. She developed the dance ministry at our church at Shady Grove. She was just a true woman of God, and we thank God for knowing her. We thank God for having her in our lives, and we thank God for learning from her. And we hope that it was something that she said or done or touched you in some kind of way that will have good memories for you, that will make you want to go on and serve the Lord as she did. If it was anybody that reached you, that would be the one. That would be the one that was just a real, true, virtuous woman. She loved God. She loved people. She had compassion for all. She was a prayer warrior. She was just one of those people that, you know, you would love her. You would love her forever and keep her in your heart and just always remember that she loved you. So with that being said, I want to just ask that you join us tonight. We have Dr. Shelton Carter of the Latter House of Los Angeles, who will be sharing with us his vision, and he will be sharing with us his word he spoke on this morning. Let me tell you, people, if you don't know, if you haven't experienced Dr. Shelton Carter, it is an experience. Each morning at 8 o'clock a.m., they have a morning call, which we call breakfast. It is just wonderful. Every morning, he comes on with his team from the Letter House in California, and they're so warm, they're so welcoming, they're so loving, and they allow us to share in their experience. They allow us to share testimonies. They allow us to share prayer requests. They allow us to just fellowship with one another on the line, on the morning call, and it is magnificent. I have learned so much from them and also gleaned so much from him that I just get a joy every day. It makes my day. It makes me happy to be able to listen to his teachings in the morning and be happy to be a part of his crew in the morning and just to be on the team with them, because It is such a joy. They're so loving. They're so friendly. They're so encompassing. They just, I don't think you could find a better people. I don't think that there's no one like them. I wouldn't trade them for the world. And I want them to know that tonight, since I can say that tonight. I'm not at work. I don't get to talk in the morning time. I just have to listen. So I just want to let them know that I truly, truly love each and every one of them. I truly enjoy coming on in the morning with them and listen to them share and be so loving and so have so much great faith and fellowship and at the things that Dr. Carter tells us and speaks into our lives is just magnificent. You know, sometimes I wonder about it. I wonder if, you know, he have an antenna into our lives, you know, because he can speak so profoundly into some of the things that I go through or some of the things that may be on my mind some mornings that it just I can't help but go in. I get out the phone and I have to go to the sanctuary, which is the bathroom of my job, and just praise God. So with that being said, I see we have some callers tonight. If any of you would like to have words of expression before I introduce Dr. Carter to the line, you can go ahead and feel free to speak.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
This is Sister Velma.
Hey,
from
Sister Velma.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you tonight?
I am
God
blessed.
Bless
I am blessed.
All
yes,
right.
Velma. Yes, I heard you speaking about the morning call. And I have been on the call for the last, I believe 3 or 4 years, and it is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm like you. I'm like, okay, do you have like a little antenna somewhere, sir, or roving around? But God is good. Yes, ma'am. I didn't let you know I was on.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Anyone else want to speak? Feel free. The line is open to you right now. Well, God bless you. God bless you. And thank you again for joining us. I'm trying to find it. Sister Carolyn out there? Sister Shanine? Come on. Some of y'all come out. Okay. Well,
amen, amen. This is Shanine. Good evening. Good evening, Sister Lewis. It's so good to hear your voice. I don't get to hear you in the morning. It's exciting to hear you and just hear the accolades and just the joy in which you speak. You know, even though you're limited in the time that you can greet us in the morning, you share your love with such enthusiasm. It is a blessing to hear you, and I'm glad that I get to join in on your forum today. It's a blessing.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sister Shanine. I enjoy you also in the morning. You give me great joy, and it's just so much love and caring coming from you. And when you request us to give us a chance to speak, you know, I'll be wanting to say something so bad. Sometimes I have to just get up and go to the bathroom if I'm not in the middle of something. But it's just wonderful. And the call is so marvelous. It just starts my day off. I just have to have it. I be saying, ooh, is Dr. Carter going to come on this morning? Ooh, is he going to speak? Is he going to share with us today?
Right. It's exciting. It is exciting. We're just so excited, and we're so elated about the moves and the things going on at the Ladder House. It is a blessing. I mean, we are looking forward with excitement to we just are overjoyed with the addition of our first lady and just the beauty of the relationship.
Amen.
And the beauty of who she is.
Lady.
Amen. Amen.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And we are yes. I mean, I've got to know her on an intimate level, and just the fact that the things that she shared and she has taught us, and just by example, we are excited and looking forward to just having a more formal welcome for her. But we are excited excited about it. We just have so much love for her. She's given to us just in so many different respects. Just share with us her teaching methods, her way she enters in and she goes before God. And she has been so open and just showing us how to love one another and connecting us in ways that we probably would not have been connected had it not been for her. Just showing the points in which we are connected and looking for and always seeing the good in everything. You know, sometimes I've come to her with some different things on my mind, but she's able to just home in on that, see what it is, and with love, just point you in that right direction and get you to see the way that she is seeing. And it's a blessing. It's just a blessing to have such a powerful woman like that being able to walk alongside of our man of God, Dr. Shelton Carter, with such strength and tenacity. We are excited here in the Ladder House.
Amen.
Ladder House LA, Ladder House Dallas,
Amen.
Ladder House everywhere. We are excited.
We're excited for y'all.
Amen. Amen. I am too, Shanine, because my experience with her is just genuine. When I first met her, I've been knowing her for about maybe 3 or 4, maybe almost 5 years now. I met her at a revival through another friend of mine who invited me to come to the revival, No Woman Left Behind. And baby, when I tell you that inspiration that started changing in my life, girl, it was marvelous. It was, she just spoke that word, and she was so open and so transparent and so visual that, you know, you had to gravitate to her. You know, you had to want to know more. And she had, every Saturday, we would go to the little town in Ferris and be participants of Women of Worth. It was wild. I can't forget what she called it, but, and she just trained us, and she gave us wisdom, and she helped lead and guide us through a whole lot of changes. She poured herself out to us, and it was marvelous. And I've been with her ever since then, and I love her spirit. I love her just tenacity. I love her teaching, and you know, and she is every bit of sincere and open. You know, and she doesn't, you know, she don't cut no corners. It is what it is, you know, and she will tell you it is what it is. And she has a beautiful spirit, and I genuinely care and love her. It's not anything that I wouldn't do for her, you know, as a woman of God, you know, and I love her with the love of Christ. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and let the man of God come and introduce himself, the pastor of the Ladder House of Los Angeles, Dr. Shelton Carter. Dr. Carter, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. You got
all right.
The
Can
flow.
You hear me?
Can hear you very
Can
well.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yes,
very good, very good.
All right,
sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you again for having me. Out of all the people you could have had tonight, amen, I'm glad that you requested me. I'm humbled by the invitation. I know that it was by grace, but in spite of you could have chosen. No, it's okay. You could have you could have had anyone come. And again, I thank you for requesting my presence and just giving me an opportunity to share and speak about the Ladder House and what the Lord is doing there and how he's moving. Amen. In spite of and through it all, he's moving. And to all the great people that have joined in tonight, whomever you are, God bless your heart and all your parts. And especially to those of mine that God has connected me to by grace and by spirit and by anointing, God bless you. And I definitely want to say God bless you and thank you for being so kind in your comments concerning, amen, the first lady of the Ladder House, in which we affectionately refer to as Lady Wanda, amen, who was come in. So, again, And so again, we want to acknowledge her on tonight, who was scheduled to be on tonight, and so I get the opportunity to pitch hit tonight on her behalf, and I hope that I will represent her well on tonight. She is unaware, amen, that the people there in Los Angeles are so excited that they're preparing, amen, for her arrival. And
amen.
And so they're planning a very warm reception. And so if anyone from the Dallas area that will want to join us, we'll give you notification when that will be. However, we are planning something very special. One is being a first lady in a ministry, totally out of a whole, into a whole nother state. The women thought it was important that they stepped out and did their part in making sure that their first lady knew that she was at home and she had support. And so I commend them and I applaud them. And I think that's very big of them to be that way and just mature of
awesome.
Them. I bless them, man. I just bless them. And so with that being said, we're also planning to expand our existence. As Sister Velma has affectionately said tonight, she's been in connection and relationship to this ministry for at least 3 years now. And in time, in seed time, and in offering, she is right there. And she's there participating. She's there at every meeting I host there in the Dallas region. And God has graced us with such an anointing that, and I say it affectionately, that the Ladder House is not a building. It's not a building. But the Ladder House is an anointing, and it's a people.
Amen.
And it's a people that have been through all kinds of stuff. They've been all kinds of stuff away. They've been all kinds of stuff together. And they've been through all kinds of stuff as individuals. And they understand simply, irregardless of tax bracket, area code, financial status, color, creed, or otherwise, that everybody got something they deal with, gonna deal with, or has dealt with. And they understand that no matter how far you've been or how low you've ever gotten or where you may be, that your ladder can be greater than your former. And they know this because there's a grace that God has given us. And this is part of our assignment, that he really restores. God is a God of restoration. And we believe him to restore. We believe him to reconcile. And we believe that if we can act in those attributes as Christ did, then we believe there's a great reward. And we so our reward is just knowing that our latter shall be greater than our former. And in this house, he says in Haggai, he said, I'll provide peace. That word means nothing missing and nothing broken. God can restore you in such a way that it be like it never, ever happened before, no matter what it is. And that's just how I believe. And so I'm very, very, very hopeful and very faithful as it pertains to believing God for people. And so that is our mission and our vision. But our vision is spreading. And God has been talking to me about Texas for a long time now. I started out in Houston and then migrated my way on up towards Dallas. And God spoke very profoundly. And he spoke to me this. He gave me the scripture where Christ was born. And when they were looking for the birth of Christ, and they said that he would be found wherever the star was, the star. And God told me, he said that, you know, as Christ meaning anointed one and his anointing. He says, I'm birthing a fresh anointing. There is a spirit of awakening that's happening in Dallas. And he said to me that I am going, and actually in the state of Texas at large, he said, I am going to be moving in a fresh and anointing in the Lone Star State. But I'm going to be doing it through the unlikely. I'm going to be doing it through folk you thought I'd never do it through. And therefore, I need a special kind of grace and favor in a place like that. Let me explain what kind of grace is necessary in a place like that, where you got men that are so frustrated with life and otherwise that they're shooting at the police in the middle of downtown Dallas.
Mm.
With the murder rates and the crimes that just went really just weirdo, crazy. And we're trying to get a grip and a grab on this stuff and trying to understand the levels of promiscuity and sexuality that are so beyond us that we can't relate. That we're going to have something more insightful now. We're going to have more than just some wine skin. But we're going to have some new wine. Some level of hope and vision. And tonight I'm going to share a little bit out of the scripture where he says in Isaiah 50, he says, where he talks about that the Lord has given him the tongue of the learned so that he may speak a word in season to those mm-hmm. that are weary. In season mm-hmm. to those that are weary. In season, in culture, in life, in this moment right now that we all are dealing with. And I understand that we have come from the fathers and mothers of Kumbaya, but we got to move on and hear something different now. There's a new mm-hmm. song, there's a new word, there's something new coming out. And we got to be able to capture it and grab it because the people are frustrated now. If you think America is frustrated with how things are running, you got to check out how the people of God are now. And they're looking and they're searching, and God said that there's awakening going on there. There's an awakening going on. And there's something that they need that I've put inside of you. I put inside of you, and I understand the grace of God on my life and the purpose as well as this vision that we call the Ladder House. And so with that being said, he said, you're going to need at this time, as it was when they were preparing for the Passover, they knew something fresh was coming. They just didn't know when or if it really was going to happen the way he said it was going to happen. Now, remember, he said it was going to happen like this. Christ said that I am going to go away, and I must go away, as in that I'm going to die and I'm going to leave here. That's a hard conversation to have with somebody. But I'm going to send you back to Allah's Parakletos, which is the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be with you, and he is going to be with you all. He's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he's going to do the other. But in order to have this level of visitation, they know that something has to die. And so this time for the Passover has come, and the disciples, who are disciplined followers, are asking the question, where shall we go and prepare for the Passover?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says something very key. He says, go into the city. There you will find a man in the business of it all. And he's going to be carrying a pail of water. He said he's going to lead you into a room where the furnishing is already finished. Everything is going to be supplied for. Everything is going to be done already.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is be willing to go. Let's go. You into something different. But
mm-hmm.
he says that he says, go into the city and you're going to find a man carrying a pail of water. Number one, that was unusual for a man to be carrying water because culturally the men didn't carry the water. It was the women who carried the water. And so for a man to be carrying water, that means he was an unusual man.
Amen.
Amen.
But you got to understand the type and shadow of it all is that water always was symbolic of either the word or the spirit of God in relationship to the anointing. And so he says, go into the city and you're going to find an unusual man. But he's going to have an anointing on his life. And it's going to be so powerful that it's going to lead you into a room where stuff is already finished. It's already prepared. It's already laid up in there. Sister Lewis was talking about it earlier, and she talked about how she gets up and has to have her breakfast in the morning. And she gets a morning breakfast by tuning into this call. And what's happening is she's being ushered into a room where she's grabbing stuff. And the lights are coming on in areas where darkness was. It's a fresh revelation. Now, it is not,
amen,
because we are anything. It is because anyone that carries that level of understanding is someone that carries that level of process. And this is what we don't understand. We don't understand process. And while we're going through the process of becoming, you'd be surprised how low we get.
Mm-hmm.
We like to affectionately call our congregation core, a congregation of reapers. Reapers. We believe we have a reaping
Amen.
Anointing. Jesus says mm-hmm. this. He says, one man sows, another reap. I've sent you to reap that for which you have not sown. He says, others have labored. I've sent you in to enter into their labor. I sent you to reap. But what is a reaper? A reaper is one that recovers lost and stolen harvests and use them to advance the kingdom of God for his glory and his name's sake.
Come on.
The Bible says that we shall reap if we faint not. So the prerequisite to reaping is not to faint, which means that there are going to be a reason that you might want to faint at times while you're going after whatever it is you believe that God is leading you into. Because you don't just click your heels and end up in Kansas. This is not Dorothy's walk. This is the body of Christ's walk.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying to you? And so and he says you will reap, but you got to not faint, which means you're going to come across some times that you're going to want to just throw in the towel at times and say, forget it. I can't do this. I'm tired. And as I look across, amen, of the church at large, I look into an arena where I see that the workers and those that are upholding ministry and those that are advancing missions and those that have the responsibility of vision, that they are getting weary. But they are faithful, but they're weary. They're faithful, but now they're getting to the point that not only they're weary, but now they're starting to have behavioral changes because their attitude is all messed up because they've gotten to a place of an all-time low even while serving. They're serving uh-huh. in their position, hoping that God will speak a word that will change their existence. But
uh-huh.
because their existence isn't changing, their hearts are becoming more corrosive, and therefore their heart that used to be glad is now sad, and even worst case, they're mad. And standing at the uh-huh. door being the usher, they're in the pulpit preaching to the people. You'd be surprised how many ministers do not like people.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting to a low now. They're getting to a weak, and it has come systematically, and yet it has come strategically. Strategically. Reverend, explain your point. I shall. If somebody would turn to Job with me really quick. Job. Everyone remember Job. You understand me? Job had it going on. Job was a man. He had camel, and he had possessions. He had a very large household, the Bible says. I mean, he had sons. He had daughters. He had everything. And the Bible also says that Job lifted up sacrifices continuously every single day, and on behalf of the sacrifices that he lifted up, those sacrifices kept his family and his possessions covered
Amen.
Under a grace that was upon Job's life. This thing was so obvious that when Satan questioned God concerning Job, he said, I could get to him, but you have this thing around him that literally God didn't alone put it around him, but it was Job's sacrifice, his honor, and his worship to God every day that lifted the hedge up around his household and everything that pertained to Job. In
uh-huh.
other words, Job had the responsibility of making sure that other folk were covered. And so he didn't have the luxury of not to worship. He didn't
uh-huh.
have the luxury of not to sow, of not to sacrifice, of not to give. He had to give, he had to sow, he had to worship, because it not only was his life predicated upon it, but those that was in connection and relationship to him. It's almost like a man of the house. And I understand that, you know, you're not the preacher and you may not be the deacon of the church, but you as the priest of that home have the responsibility of making sure that the house stay covered. You better hear me. And you have to make sure of it by making sure that nothing of despair or dishonor comes upon the house, because you have enough lamb that you eat in the house that keeps you to a place where you make sure
that your family stay covered, irregardless if it's a household, whether you're the leader of the auxiliary in the church, whether you're a leader of the church. You have to make sure that it stays covered. Well, to explain your point, Pastor, you remember when it was presumed again, and I say presumed, that it was the death angel that was going to come down and destroy all the firstborn in the story concerning the Egyptians and the Hebrews in the days of Moses. When it, literally it wasn't the death angel, it was God that was coming down. And God's presence and glory coming up on a people that are not consecrated or sanctified, although it could be a blessing to the sanctified, it could be a hell for those that are unsanctified.
Amen.
That's why it's better for some people that God don't start moving on your situation right now. Because if he draws nigh to it, it's like it is in the book of Luke where he says it's the Lord's visitation, and because you were not aware of his visitation or what is supposed to happen during a visitation, he says now your enemies will be embanked against you. Children within will go through this, that, and the other because you were not aware of the Lord's visitation or you're not clear on what happens when the Lord draws near. That's why when God was getting ready to break the people out of Joshua out and over to the next side, he told Joshua, he said, look, I'm going to come down in 3 days. So you need to go and sanctify the people before I show up. Because I'm coming whether they sanctified or not. Just it's depending on the condition or state that they're in will determine whether or how I bless in the situation when I show up. Because when I show up as God, I ain't never showing up just to be up, but I'm showing up to show out and therefore to be all that I am, and whoever is on my side becomes more of who I am as God and less of that is exposed, that which is left behind, or that is left in the disregard. And I want you to remember I said that, the disregard. Job.
Okay.
Job said, chapter 6, verse 6, he said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came amongst them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? And Satan answered and said to the Lord, going to and fro. He said, I'm going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, that is blameless, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand, touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Because somebody told me foolishly that if God is present, then Satan can't be in the same space as God. Oh, now I have a difference here, something that jams me up right through here. Let me visit the understanding, if you would. Because Job has it going on. Everything is working well in his life, and he has this hedge of protection that's lifted up around his family, lifted up around his possessions, and he is good. And so now, all of a sudden, there's this meeting going on in the heavens. And it's a meeting concerning the very purpose of Job. And what we don't understand is that there are heavenly meetings going on concerning our individual purposes. And these meetings are attended not just by holy angels. And let me explain to you. When we deal in a spirit realm, in the spirit realm, it is not just that which is holy. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because holy means exclusive and set apart. In other words, there is no other spirit like the Holy Spirit in this dimension. He is the Holy Spirit. And that's why people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge, because they don't get the information to understand what is holy and what is not holy, what is God's will and what is not God's will. And so they're confused every time something happens, because there's an ignorance going on, and the ignorance comes because you don't just get this level of information because you want it. You get this level of information because you first learn how to sit down somewhere.
Right.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying to you? That's the first thing you got to – and that's a whole nother ministry lesson. We'll be talking about flow coming up in 2017, and we'll be teaching on those subjects. Of what I meant by that. But I want you to hear something. That the Bible said the saved came also to this heavenly meeting. And he's in this heavenly meeting in the heavens, not in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we want to assume that Satan is in hell right now, but he is not in hell right now. The Bible says that Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covered, one day led a rebellion in the heavens. And when he led that rebellion, that God put a stop to it by assigning one of his high-arching angels, amen, to dispel and eject Lucifer and the third that he had influenced, amen, with him. Uh-huh. Lucifer, the Bible says, when he was cast out of the heavens, according to the book of Jude, that he did not keep his former estate or abode, which means that he did not keep his body, if you would, because angels have a celestial body, and you and I have a terrestrial body, okay? And the badge of authority on planet Earth is that you got to have a body in order to express yourself. And so Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven. Help me, Holy Ghost, because somebody's going to get something tonight that you need to have, amen, that's going to change not only your life, but from this moment right now and moving forward, it's about to change your existence, because the spirit of truth is about to hit you. And so what happened is that these angels were cast out of the heavens, and when they were cast out, they did not keep their former abode or body. They were disembodied spirits, and they were cast out to the earth. And this is why the Bible says in Genesis 1, when he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you would agree that everything that God made was good, correct?
Amen.
No? Yeah, everything was good. And so when he made the heavens, it was good. When he made earth, it was good. But wait a minute. By the time you got to verse number 2, he said the earth was void. And it was in chaos. So how did it get bad from verse 1 to verse 2 if it was so good? You understand what I'm trying to say to you right now?
Amen.
Because in between verse number 1 and verse number 2 is when they had this situation going on in the heavens now. When it was once was good, it went bad when Lucifer decided one day that he was going to make his throne above the throne of God. And God dismissed that spirit of rebellion and insubordination, and he cast it out. But when he cast it out, Satan and his angels lost their body, which were their celestial body, and they were cast into the earth seeking a place of refuge. But because they were in the earth, it was now dark. That's why when Adam got to earth, the serpent was already in the garden. The serpent was already there. He was already cast out. See what I'm saying to you? I'm going somewhere with this. But and so when those disembodied spirits, so what are demons and devils? They are disembodied spirits. And they are disembodied spirits that is looking for a place to express themselves. And they seek humans to infiltrate or do what we call demon possess, because humans have the highest level of extremities in which they can express themselves. We can walk, we can talk, We can smile. We can laugh. We got personality.
Uh-huh. Oh,
help me understand here. Where have you come from, Satan? I have been in the earth, going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour.
May devour. Yes. That's what he's doing.
Because I can't get everybody, but there is somebody that's going to get caught slipping. Oh, God, help me here.
Go ahead.
The disembodied.
Go ahead.
So they look for humans to express themselves through. And if you are available, he will use you until you are used up, and then that devil will drop you, graveyard dead.
Mm.
And I just told you that he said he will use whom he may devour. He may devour. May is a permissive term. You got to give permission, access, allow him in.
Mm-hmm.
But what you didn't understand was, according to the meeting notes, the Satan don't have permission to touch my person. He can't kill me. He don't have a right to kill me. So what Satan does is, he don't have to kill you. He make you kill yourself.
Uh-huh. Man.
He make you stick yourself. Explain it to me. Job has all this stuff. And as long as everything is going good in his life, he's worshiping, he's sacrificing, he's doing all those things. He is moving and functioning out of something that I call a glad heart. The Bible says that we are to serve the Lord with gladness.
Mm-hmm.
With gladness. Our
yes,
heart is supposed to be glad when we serve God. Could you imagine somebody telling you they love you and everything they do for you, they doing it with an attitude? Or they're doing it because they're forced? Or doing it out of cure and out of duty? He said, no, serve me with gladness. Serve me with gladness. And I open up saying how there are many, many people that are serving in church today that are just simply burnt out from church.
Mm-hmm.
As almost to say the church isn't the answer. And I say that because I think it's about time that we flip the script and stop trying to go to church and let's start being the church that meets up.
Amen.
Oh, let me get out of there. Let me leave that alone. That's
amen.
That's a whole nother message for a whole nother
I got
day.
That.
Because if we become the church, then we can't be mad at everybody.
That's right.
We can't be hateful. We can't be unforgiving. We can't be unloving. We
Amen.
Have to be the saints of God who operate in the ministry of reconciliation, who are
yes.
all about bringing things together and not walking in division. And I say it now and I'll say it loud, that unity is our weapon of mass destruction.
Amen.
Unity
Amen.
Is our weapon. It is unity. It is Satan that is a divider. The Holy God said, Jesus said this in the garden. He said, Lord, make them one as we are one. There is no separation in us. Make your people one. And if they ever become one, they'll start bruising the head of that enemy. The reason you can't have victory in your own personal life is because you don't understand that your victory is not predicated upon your individual anointing. There is always a companion anointing connected to your gifting. I'm a pastor, but there are people that speak into my life. There's people that cover and speak over me because there's somebody else's anointing joint with your anointing that helps you get to the other side. Job is big and bad at one point in his life. Satan say he say you can get to him, but you can touch his substance, you can touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. But once he started touching his stuff, he started affecting him. If I had time to read this chapter, you would read where it said that one man came to tell Job that the fire was coming from heaven, and burnt up all his stock and all his livestock. Then another place he said that this is happening. And then another place he said, you done lost your house. And then another place he said, you lost your children. Then another place he said it all while he was speaking on one negative report. Here comes another negative report on top of negativity, and then more negativity on more negativity. And if you get so much negativity in your life,
uh-huh.
what you don't understand
uh-huh.
is that faith cometh by hearing and hearing
uh-huh.
of the word of God. It comes by a consistent diet or intake of a good word. That's how faith comes.
Yes.
But also
yes.
depression comes like that as well. The Bible says
uh-huh.
in Proverbs 12:25, he says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Makes it glad, as to say, that the state of my heart is supposed to be at gladness. My heart
yes.
is never supposed to be at a state of anxiety or depression. He says anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, which means that this anxiety had to come within. And this anxiety, this feeling, and this emotional state that I have, feeling of despondency, feeling of rejection, feeling of inadequacy, everything that God has already satisfied and already should have, you should have received by faith by now. He already told you that you were irreprovable. He already said that you was wonderful and all of that and some more. He already said, I didn't
yes.
send my son for you to die for you. And if I didn't send my
yes.
son to die for you, then you mean to tell me that wasn't enough to raise up your esteem level of how you esteem yourself? Come on now. Something is going on that who you actually are is being decayed and corroded, and which means that something is hitting against your life in such a way that you are reducing yourself to the standard of how the enemy wants you to operate. And in the levels he wants you to operate is to continue to operate in states of shame and guilt and inadequacy. Jesus despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He endured the shame because there was something ahead that he was looking forward to. And this is what joy is. Joy is when you have something to look forward to every day. Joy is the substance of that thing where God begins to show you the ability of his that makes you hopeful again. I got joy. Everything ain't right in my life, but I got something I'm looking, I'm walking towards. I got joy.
Come on.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
The joy of
yes.
the Lord is your strength. You don't just want to
right.
get up and go to work in the morning, but every mm-hmm. time you look over there at them kids, the joy or the strength to get up and go do it is when you look at them babies, which is your joy.
Yes, Lord.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Come on.
It's your joy. It's your joy. It's your joy.
Come on.
The enemy is trying to take your joy. And
yeah,
the way
yeah.
he takes your joy is he brings forth so much deception that all of
yeah.
your perceptions of anything that you were hopeful for begin to decay, and you don't see nothing good anymore, and therefore you're in a very, very, very bad place. Honey, you are now mm-hmm. in depression.
Oh, no.
Hmm.
Depression. And depression is serving as ushers in the church. Depression is in the pulpit preaching every Sunday. Depression is in the choir stand singing and trying to inspire when they need some inspiration themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why they're able to do their duties. But after they get done doing their duties, they're creeping out the window, running over to somebody else's house to get a level of inspiration and something put back in them. This is why they creep
uh-huh.
over to the bar, because they got to have a drink just to fill them back up again. But they're preaching
oh,
every Sunday. But they're standing at the door every week, and nobody has paid attention that Sister Agnes is depressed.
Come on. Come on.
Because we equate that everybody is all right just because they show up. And the reality is all we want is them to show up. That's why when we in the church, they come to you with an attitude talking about, where was you at last Sunday? I might
come
have
on,
been
Pastor.
Going through hell. Did you pray for me? I might have been going through a hard time. Did you believe God for me?
Come on.
Or the truth of the matter is, I'm only important on the attendance sheet.
Come on.
Long as we can put my number on the board and say we done had 72 in attendance on this Sunday, to make me look good, because most preachers, most ministry, most vision don't understand anything about ministry. They equate ministry to size, and because that's their maleness and their egos that have rose to the surface, that now they're exposing themselves. Everything is about size. You can't even go to the gym no more in the locker room without a man putting on a towel, walking around trying to show off, because everything is about size when it comes to a man. But when we break down and become to the purity of our hearts, we get beyond the flesh and we get into the purpose. And if I do my purpose, if I do my purpose, if I get down and get the one sheep out, I've done my job.
Amen.
I've done my job.
Amen.
It ain't about numbers.
Amen.
And it ain't about size. It's about the, you can have numbers and you can have size and ain't got nobody's anointing, nobody's power,
come on,
nobody revelation, nobody nothing, but you got numbers. So how you doing today, Reverend? Oh, I'm doing well, Doc. We running about 500. Just bought me a new Bentley last week, and I'm doing good, preacher. You understand what I'm saying to you? No, I ain't doing good, preacher, when I just got a new Bentley. I'm doing good when the saints are getting new, when I'm doing good.
All right.
I'm not good when I just get healed. I'm doing good when the saints are getting healed. That's when I'm doing good. When the saints are stepping into their assignments and their calling and their purposes and getting visions and getting it together, that's when I'm all good with it. And we got to change that, because the people are hurting at the door, and they're wounded at the door, and they're in ministry hurt. They're hurting, and nobody is paying attention.
All right.
They don't even know that you they ain't even know that you put your last $5 in church, believing and hoping that when I pull out this driveway, that I hope my car don't just break down before the saints get out of here. Let me get out of view. I don't even have enough gas to get out of here. But I'm so, everything is so insensitive that who do I even go to say I need some gas money today?
Who can I tell you?
But we keep preaching, and we're to the point that we're not paying attention that our sales have gotten low. Our sales have gotten low. And when our sales are low, we're no longer guiding the ship. But now the ship is being guided. And it's being guided by the winds. That's the effect of the waves. It's the winds that affects the wave. What is the wind? The wind is the part that you cannot see. It is something going on in a dimension that you have no sensitivity to, because Satan has hit you with so much stuff, brought you so much negativity, that he caused you to begin to get low now. In Deuteronomy, it talks about the blessings, where he says, I'm going to bless you in the city, I'm going to bless you in the field, I'm going to bless you in your needle board, I'm going to bless you in your substance, I'm going to bless you in your cattle, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. But then he goes on to say, he says, if you do my word, keep my commands, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you. But then he says, if you do not do, he says, all these curses will come upon you, and these will be on you. In other words, God says, if you do this, then this is going to happen. But if you don't do that, then that is going to happen. Now, God is not saying, I'm going to make that happen. I'm just letting you know that if you don't do that, that's what's going to happen. You understand? It's like when tell your kid that if you don't do that, that's going to happen. And then they don't do it, and then that happened, and then you go, I told you that was going to happen. Well, how do you know that's going to happen? Because you had the wisdom of that information. As God. God says that if you keep my word, I'm going to bless you like this. But if you don't, then this is going to happen. The reason that why would anybody not do God's word? Only way that you wouldn't do it is either you're deceived or you're so weak that you can't do it. Did you know at the end of that chapter, he said the reason you went into the curse was because you did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart? Your heart can get so broken and so low that you can want to pray and can't pray. You can want to fast and can't fast. You can't focus. You can't do nothing. You could want to worship. You could want to do all the things you know to do, the 12 steps to victory, you know to do all of them. But if you don't have the strength to lift, baby, you're in a very bad place. He says anxiety in the heart of a man. It causes depression. It gets you to such a state that, yes, I'm singing and doing the lead song this Sunday. Yes, I'm helping with the communion sacrifice. Yes, I'm doing all this stuff. But the reality is, I'm so wounded I can't get home at night to my wife. But I'm standing and I'm singing and I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm doing all the menial duties, seeming as if I'm really anointed, but what I'm doing is hiding behind my gifting. And the anointing is working, but let me help you with something, man of God. Let me help you, preachers. Just because you are anointed does not mean that you are approved.
Come on. Rewind.
The anointing is an ability that God puts up on his ability in you, which is your gift, that gives you the ability to do things you could not do without his ability. But once he gets done doing what it is he needs done, have you not noticed that that anointing lifts? And he says this to Paul. He says, Paul says, I don't want to preach. I don't want to beat myself to preach the gospel and I myself be cast away. But I want to apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. I don't want to be one of those that come back and say, Lord, I prophesied and I preached and I did all that in your name. And then he says to me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What is a worker of iniquity? What is iniquity? The three levels of sin, at least. There's transgression, there's sin, and then there's iniquity, according to Psalms. And if you notice, Psalm 51, when David addresses them, he gives remedy for each one of them, and they all were different. It's whenever you're using your gifting outside of proper covering or grace. That's iniquity. Because your gift has been so wired that it will work. It will perform. It will do what it does. But if you don't have the grace over that gift, that same gift that's blessing everybody else will be a curse to you. Because a lot of time we use our gifts just to feel satisfied or to feel fed or to feel nurtured in some kind of way. There's something we're not receiving. Our hearts are not glad. But we're serving. He said, serve me, son, with gladness of heart. And when your heart is glad, you can stay strong in the Lord. And that's why you got to be careful how you receive and what you receive. He said, keep guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues. Matthew said that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. That word force is the same word that is used as issues in the Proverbs. It is the word issue. So he says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent takes it by the issues. That word issue is the same word that's used over in Galatians chapter 5:22, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. They are the issues that are supposed to be flowing out of your heart. But because your heart has got so damaged along the way, and all you've been stuffed with just show up to duty. And you showed up to duty, and you did your times last Sunday. And nobody ever knew that when you left out of the temple, that your candlestick wasn't lit. And the little light you did had starts to decay and corrode and grow away. Because your heart now is not only is it not glad, but your heart is sad, and nobody knows it. Your heart is mad. Nobody knows it until you explode one day. And the reality is you didn't explode, but you imploded. That water was boiling because the temperature was hot on the inside of that pot a long time ago. You just heard it whistle. But I pray that God will raise up people that are more concerned now about pastoring the people, leading the people, nurturing and building them up to such a degree that not only can I hear cars falling from heaven, not only can I hear financial breakthroughs, but I hope that I'm sensitive enough to know that my deacon that's walking alongside of me is having problems in his marriage. and he needs somebody to put his arms around him. That he's going through a midlife crisis and he don't know how to really confront that thing. He's having all kind of dysfunctions in his bodies and everything. He does. I hope that I'm that sensitive to understand, to know that I build up a ministry and a work that people are actually concerned about one another, and we're not just one of those places that we say we'll pray for you. But no, we'll make it our business to stop and pray with you right there and then. We won't let time nor space get in between. Let me pray with you now. That love that you heard transpiring through that phone tonight concerning those that connect with us, that's a real deal, Holyfield. I try to explain it to people, and it's hard to explain. You have to live it. Because anointings don't just show up, but they are made. And they're made of different ingredients, of ingredients that have been crushed, been trampled on, and they have trampled on each other from time to time. But God showed himself strong and mighty at times, and he pulled people back together that once were separated. And he made them stronger. I'm watching people that just hated each other once before. I'm watching them give each other rides, buy each other cars, give people places to stay. I mean, it's amazing. And that's because I understand that life can throw you such challenges that we all don't perform at our best levels all the time. None of us do. From the preacher pews, we blow it from time to time. A just man falls 7 times, but he get back up. Job was okay in one place. And when it first started coming against him, Job said this. He says, oh, well, curse. He says, naked I came into the world. Naked I'll go out the world. He said, as if it, you know, I understand I'm going through a little bit, but this too will pass. And then all of a sudden it just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. And Job got to the point he got so low. Job said, why don't you just curse? I just wish I could just curse the day that I was even born.
See.
Forget all the things that once made me glad, like my children, my wife, my family, and my friends. Forget all of that. He says, I just wish I wasn't ever even born. Because you can go from serving to just being so low that you just don't even understand life anymore. You feel like there's nothing to look forward to. Even the places of routine don't do it for you no more. And that's because you don't have a glad heart anymore. But tonight, I believe the Lord sent me tonight to treat your heart attack and reach my hand in there and start squeezing so you can feel again. Blood can start pumping through you again.
Yes.
So that anointing will rise to the surface and you can be everything that God called you to be.
Yes.
You don't have to suffer no more loss. And you can get strong again in the Lord. I'm a Sunday noble say.
Yes.
Get strong
yes,
in the Lord.
God.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Of his might.
For
yes,
he has
God.
Made me glad. He has made me glad.
Yes.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. That's your confession tonight, that I will rejoice. What did he say about rejoicing? He says, rejoice, and again I say unto you, rejoice. In other words, he says, refill, and again I say, refill. Keep refilling. Every day you get full. Get full of my glory, full of my joy, full of my peace.
Yes.
Get full every day.
Because
every day there's going to be something thrown at you in your way that's going to try to knock you off your rocker. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to get caught. And you're going to get hit behind the head. And before you even realize it, you'll be at such a low that you'll realize you're falling and you can't get up.
Yeah.
But tonight, God sent a prophetic word in your life that has reached down in your situation and is massaging your heart right now. The pulse is coming back right now.
Come on.
It's coming back right now. We're massaging that heart again so it can get back again. Somebody's wife is going to appreciate us tonight. Somebody's husband is going to appreciate us tonight. Somebody's children is going to appreciate us tonight. Somebody's mother is going to appreciate us. We squeeze tonight, God. We squeeze.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Build
yes,
them up,
Lord.
Father, where they're torn down. Lift up the bowed down head today. You are not such a high priest that you cannot be touched by the feelings of their infirmity. Build their weakness and make them strong again, God.
Come on.
Make them strong again, God.
Come on.
Make them strong again, God. Now, and I'd like to present to some and introduce to others the new you, baby. The new you. If you just got
come
the
on.
Words that just
thank
came
you, Lord.
Out of my mouth, the new you.
Come on.
And if they're looking for the old you, they're going to have to keep looking, but they won't find you because it's a new day.
Thank you.
Come on.
Jesus.
Thank
Israel,
you, Jesus.
A new season.
Thank
a fresh
you, Lord.
Anointing is coming our way. We ain't got time to be looking back in this rearview mirror. We got to move forward now. God said to Moses, why do you stand here and gaze up at me? He said, stretch your rod and go forward today.
Hallelujah.
To move forward. You got
yes.
the joy to go forward.
Glory.
You got the gladness
yes,
to go
God.
Forward again. Let your
glory.
Breathe again. Let
yes.
it breathe again. Let it breathe again. Let it breathe again. Let it breathe again. Let it
yes.
breathe again.
Hallelujah.
Let it breathe again.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Woo,
yes, God.
Breathe again and again.
Thank you,
again,
Father. Thank you.
Breathe
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Breathe again.
Cover with the blood.
Breathe again.
Yes.
They're gonna
Jesus.
Be looking for that
yes,
same person
Jesus.
On Sunday. You're gonna walk in them doors on Sunday morning with a new attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go in there with a new hairdo. Get
yes,
a new color
come
lipstick.
On.
Do something
new
different.
Lipstick.
It's new now, baby. It's new. It's new.
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah.
The color
well,
of the game. It's new. My, always, as I said, it's like the Wiz. Remember the movie mm-hmm. Wiz? In the movie The Wiz, they had different colors, and he would say the color is yellow, so everybody performed under that authority.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was a new
Amen.
Day, they changed the color.
Amen.
You need,
Amen.
You need to change the color, baby.
Don't
you need
change
to change
man.
It from black, baby. It's no
in
more black days. It's sunny
black.
Days now. No more clouds. It's light now.
Yeah.
Now breathe again. I can
yeah.
breathe again.
Yes,
he has made me glad. He has
yes,
made me glad.
Thank
I will
made
rejoice
me glad.
For he has made me glad.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
He has set me free.
Hallelujah.
There's no more chains holding me.
No more
no,
chains.
He has set me free.
Come
thank
on.
You.
If you're bold enough, just somebody just say, I'm free tonight.
I'm
free.
Free.
I'm free tonight. I'm not going to be sound to that. No, I'm free tonight. I'm
lighter
tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm lighter. I'm brighter.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm wiser.
Yes.
I'm stronger. I'm all
thank
of that
you.
And some more because I got my heart glad again.
Yes.
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
the joy
you.
Of the Lord is my
woo!
Strength. Come on. Come on.
I will rejoice, mm. for he has made me glad.
I will rejoice.
I will
for
rejoice,
made
for
me
he
glad.
Has made me.
Come on.
Yeah, I didn't say mm. I feel rejoice. I said I will rejoice.
I will.
You will. I don't
come
care
on.
What crisis go on in your life from here on out.
Yes.
You make sure
you're
going
to
pull up at the filling
thank
station.
You, Lord.
Irregardless
you,
of the weather or the condition.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because it got cold
thank
outside.
You
stop running in and getting your tank full because of the weather and the climate change.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you got to ignore that climate and you got to get in that gas station
yeah.
and get full.
Gotta get it.
Get in. Get in. Get in.
How you stay full, you make sure you do it. Whether it's in your weekly fellowship, whether it's in your prayer closet with
come on.
A prayer partner. But if you can't find nobody to go there with you, you better encourage yourself.
Yeah. Speak over yourself.
You better encourage yourself.
Yes.
Notice what I said. Encourage yourself. I don't know what it takes for you to stay encouraged. But notice what I said. Encourage. Encourage means I have courage inwardly.
From within.
Inwardly,
yes.
I got courage. My courage within me.
Amen.
I need to show up on
come
outside
on.
Of me. Some of y'all need to get the courage to do something other than what you've been doing. You've been
that's
doing
right.
that, and you're sad, mad, and depressed. Maybe that ain't the remedy. Maybe you running into church every Sunday ain't your answer. Oh, let me get out of that today. Lord, help
come
me,
on.
Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help, let me help me. Maybe you need to go do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You might need to
yes,
change
God.
Your routine.
Yes, God.
Your routine is the same.
Mm.
And you can't expect
yes.
different results if you keep doing
The same thing.
Right.
I don't need to tell you what that is. You know what that is.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
You know exactly what that is.
Yeah, we know.
So we changed the game today.
Change the game.
We changed it today.
Change the game.
Go out of them play them.
I got the courage to change today.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I'm changing
Thank
this
you,
today. This is enough of this
Thank
right
you.
Here.
Oh,
change
God.
Today.
Enough of
Even if the situation don't change, I'm going to change in the situation.
I'm going to change.
That's right.
Mm.
I can't do it like that no more. I can't be sad. Not when
Amen.
He has made
yes.
me glad.
Change the way I think.
God, you know
change
what God
has
to go to get you to the place that you just in right now? If people really knew the testimony you have, that what it took to get you just to where you are right now.
Wow.
So you already know he has already made you glad before.
Yeah.
But this time, Lord, I voluntarily come into your gladness.
Yes.
You ain't got to fight me to get
Free
there.
Will.
I don't need to be strung out on drugs to get up in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to have nothing, no drama going on. Lord, I'm running to you.
Running.
Here I am, God, to worship. Here I am to bow
down.
Here I am, God. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. You ain't got an organ. I ain't gonna wait for the organ to come on. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to open the doors to the church.
Here I am.
Here I am. Who are you? I am a worshiper.
Yes, Lord. That's it.
And I'm gonna let you go on this one. That a word, he said, the Lord says that I am seeking those who will worship me.
That's it.
Seeking them
because
they're not as bountiful.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that shows up in a choir robe ain't worshiping. Everybody in the pew is not worshiping.
Come on.
Even if you say just because you sing about worship, don't mean you really giving worship.
Worship. Yeah.
Right.
Because worship isn't something you do. A worshiper is something you become.
Something you are. Yes. That's it.
You can say that again. Yes.
And the only way you can become that is he is drawn to a broken spirit and a contrite heart.
Contrite heart.
Huh.
You cannot be up there in you.
Right.
You got to get out of you.
Get out of
Amen.
That's you. You got to get out of how you feel about it. How you think
Amen.
About it, you got to get out of you.
Get out of you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I know it's hard, but you got to get out of you. And if you're willing to sacrifice that, all the joy that will flood your soul. I'm telling you, if you're willing to sacrifice that, you will become a worshiper. And you know what the Lord said to me concerning what a worshiper is, what he can do with a worshiper? He said the reason I'm seeking and looking for a worshiper because a worshiper don't need a church to be a worshiper.
Come on.
Watch me here. Because they'll worship anywhere. They'll worship in the I'm telling you, there's been time I've been in the grocery store and I done got, you know, you get them quickens and you're like, oh, you know, when you start thinking about God and his goodness and you start speaking something
Thank
to you, you,
you
get excited.
God.
There's been people with
Thank
me
you,
and
Lord.
The Lord will give me a revelation or something. I'm not running around looking for pieces of papers and pens and all kinds because it's just in me. And let me tell you what he said about a worshiper. He said, son, I'm looking for a worshiper because a worshiper, once I find a worshiper, I can use a worshiper to be anything, anywhere, at any time
I
need them to be.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I can use a worshiper, hear me, to be anything, at any time, anywhere I need them to be.
Anywhere. Yes.
He can use you on your job because you are not going to be caught up in your pride and your flesh. So you're going to do the thus saith the Lord because he said do it.
Yes.
He
can
use you on the ball field. He can use you anywhere he decides he wants to use you. But he said, son, I'm looking for those. There's not that many type of people around here. They're still stuck in church with broken hearts standing at the door.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't mad at church. I'm just mad at what we're doing that we call the church.
All right.
That ain't the church. The people is the church. He said, "This is my body that was broken for you.
Yes.
Take
me. Yes.
My body was broken. We are many members of one body.
Yes.
Sent out to do a mission for God, and that is to be his people and represent him in the earth and do it well."
Yeah.
Do it well. If you can't do it at work, don't talk to me about what you're doing at church. I don't care about how good your church revival was. If we ain't surviving, you're coming on your own this job because you hear, I don't want to hear.
Amen.
I don't want to hear. Revival go everywhere I go. The anointing go everywhere I go. The spirit of God go everywhere I go. So every time I go to church, the God is in that place. Because everywhere I am, he's with me.
Yo,
he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Take him
old
with
folks
you.
Used to say, take the Lord God with you.
Everywhere you go.
You go.
Ooh, come on. Yeah.
You better take him with you. Because you're going to need him. Trust me. Because the Holy Spirit has come so that you may know the thoughts and the intentions of men. Sometimes you need to be able to walk in a room and be able to discern what's for you and what's not for you.
Yes.
You need to be able to discern, should I make this deal, should I cut this contract or not?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to know, do I need to go after that job? Should I go after this career? Do I need? And you need to know how to hear his voice outside of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You got to be able to know. Because when you start growing in this thing, you'll start walking in rooms that used to be friendly. And just because everybody got a smile, you will know it. That don't mean everything is right up in here.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
You know, some of you are starting to identify certain things at the job. I ain't talking about at church where we all there trying to get together. I'm talking about in the world where you need your anointing and you need the Spirit of God. And you're paying attention to stuff that just ain't right. There's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you in all your parts. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to share, Father, your word of wisdom to your people. I pray, Father, that something was said or done that will enlighten, encourage, and bless us for the better and forevermore. Now, Holy Spirit, do what I cannot do, be what I cannot be, and go where I cannot go, Lord. Make yourself known, straight, mighty, and awesome in these people's lives tonight. Bless them for the better, Lord. In the name of Jesus, those network partners that joined us tonight, God bless them, Lord. Move upon them and give them a special, special blessing tonight, Lord. Make them 1,000 times more than what they already are. In the name of Jesus,
God.
Thank you, Lord, for Sister Lewis and Granny's place, oh God. And all those that are affiliated, Lord, with this Blog Talk Radio, God bless them, Lord. Move upon them now in the name of Jesus. Increase them, Father, on every end with that which is positive and good. Let the blessing of the Lord rest upon them. And your blood continue to cover them and protect them and show them. I loose ministering angels to minister to us all tonight, warring angels to war for us. And those keeping angels to keep us tonight and guard us and protect us as we sleep and slumber. Assign angels to every household that is represented tonight, that we may walk in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, people of God. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you again, Sister Lewis.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be back
all
after
right.
with breakfast in the morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And I want
thank
the listeners to know. I want the listeners to know how they can get in touch with you. Shanine, are you still on? But okay, Pastor, I'm trying to get to my phone so I can get the call number for in the mornings because people need to know how they can.
Okay, let me give it to you really quick.
Okay, thank
you. It's
go ahead.
605-475-4001. The access number is 286-890-POUND. That's 286-890-POUND. Again, the dial-in number is 605-475-4001. The access number is 286-890-POUND. God bless you.
Yes.
We'll talk to you on the
God
morning.
Bless
God bless
you. And y'all want to get some more?
8 a.m. Central Time. 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless each of
Bye,
you.
Bye, First Lady.
I will listen. I will see you in the morning, bright and early, at 8 a.m.
Amen.
Join us. You have the contact number. So God bless each of you. Good night. Have a good one. And we will talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister, my sister Velma. Thank you.